With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon, I'm Nick Valvano. This Sports Center update brought to you by HexHeadArt.com. If you're looking to complete your man cave with some fantastic 3D metal artwork, use promo code ESPN for 15% off your order. HexHeadArt.com. If you are listening to the Diener Show in the 8 o'clock hour, you would know that there was a bit of a programming announcement.
Touchdown, Ravens! Lamar Jackson untouched with a seam ripper and puts the Ravens back in front.
So we are going to air all of Lamar Jackson's games right here on 93.9 The Ville. How about that?
That's right, 93.9 The Ville, your home for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens all season long. ESPN 680 1057 will be your home for the Indianapolis Colts, as well as Monday, Thursday, and Sunday night football, courtesy of our friends at Westwood One. Moving to hoops, DeMarcus Cousins allegedly telling his ex-girlfriend he put a bullet in her blanking head if she didn't let their child come to his wedding. The woman claiming she has the audio to prove it. This is coming from TMZ Sports. They have obtained court documents and a police report filed by DeMarcus Cousins' ex-girlfriend, Christy West, claiming the NBA star threatened her on October 23rd. ESPN Louisville will keep you up to date on this ongoing story. Wrapping up on the diamond, baseball, the Reds, they beat the Marlins 8-5 last night in Game 2 of their series. They wrap that series tonight, 7-10 first pitch in Miami. 6:40 coverage will begin here on ESPN 680-1057. The V-Show with Bob Valvano comes to you next. Eric Crawford from WDRB joins the program at 1 p.m. Former Louisville and NFL quarterback Chris Redman at 2. This is SportsCenter.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios, keep it locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Time now for the V-Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
We Want to Know Wednesday. I had one for everybody. I was pretty excited about it. Now I can't remember what it is.
Just disregard everything I told you?
We Want to Know Wednesday.
Unbelievable.
I heard everything you said. You do this all the time, and then you ask me. Eric Crawford's coming on at 1. Chris Redman's coming on at 2. He wants to talk about his mouth guard company.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be interested in sponsoring the Ravens. We don't know, because the Ravens are going to be here because Lamar's playing for the Ravens. That'll be interesting. We're excited about that. What else? That's the only thing you mentioned. That was exactly the whole crux of it. Okay?
Yeah.
But I want to know. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. And I had a good one. I was really jazzed up about it. Now I can't remember what it is.
Oh yeah. You told me yesterday.
Well, was it? See, it's why you got to write them down. It was a good one,
Locke's one was the Rubber Ducky,
song was top 15 in the country. Rubber Ducky.
Oh, man, I have
we
no idea.
We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday. We Want to Know Wednesday.
Really upset about that. Well, I can start with an easy one, although you must know this already. We can't sing the song because they've lost 4 games in a row, but Peter Alonso hit his 42nd home run, which is now the all-time New York Mets franchise record. I mean, the reason it's significant is not because it's the Mets. It's the record was held by Todd Hundley and Carlos Beltran, each of whom hit 41 in a season. But he is the first rookie to break the all-time franchise record for home runs since 1928. Give you an idea how difficult it is to do that. That is saying something. So this guy has got 42 home runs, and certainly he has been an enormous bright spot for this team, as even though they went down again. But that is a record for Mr. Alonso. And he hit this one to right field over the right field bullpen, just clubbed it. And it was the Johnny Rizzo. Hey, Johnny Rizzo, how you doing?
Oh.
Johnny Rizzo was the previous major league rookie to claim sole possession of his club's home run record when he hit 23 for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1938. And that was matched by former Mets broadcaster Ralph Kiner when he was a rookie in 1946. So anytime you have a sport where a guy's done something that hasn't been done in almost 100 years, what is that, 1938 till now? No, it's not 100. It wasn't 1928. So it's 80. It's 81 years. That's saying something. That's saying something. So this guy's a special player, no question. Oh, this is what I would. This was my We Want to Know Wednesday for today, though. And it was very,
well, you found it? Good.
Well, no, it's a different one.
No.
But when I saw this one this morning, and I was really impressed by it, because it was very noteworthy and extremely depressing. Because we were talking on the program yesterday about board games, and right. I said, you know, how about a marathon? I could love to set the play Stratomatic for like a whole day. Did you know that Stratomatic is actually the game that was used to set the Guinness Book of Records longest board game record set in New York in, can't remember what year it was, a couple of years ago. These guys named Brett Caro and Sam Henneman played Stratomatic for 61 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh, wow. I was going to bet.
61 hours and 2 minutes. Two complete days, 13 hours in the next day.
Oh, they couldn't take a break?
Yeah. Guinness lets you take like a five-minute break at the top of every hour to go pee and stuff. But it's got to be the same two guys. I was talking about like, hey, we'll get like 50 people and everybody. They won't count that. It's got to be the same two guys. Damn. And I love Stratomatic, but I don't think I've got 61 hours in me. That is unbelievable. Stratomatic.
Wow.
That's the record for any board game. The previous record had been...
Do they test you for drugs?
Huh?
Does Guinness test you for like performance enhancing?
I don't know. I've never worked with Guinness before. But the previous record, they did this at a bar in New York, and they had a bunch of ex-major leaguers come out and visit them.
Can you imagine?
They did. Ron Darling came by, the former Met, and a bunch of major league umpires stopped in to say hello. They played...
Was this while the guys were still coherent and could, like,
may not even be able to tell.
Hey, it's Ron Swoboda. Ron Swoboda over there.
What are you doing? 61 hours. They played... they set the record. The great thing about this, how much a glutton for punishment or entertainment these guys were. The previous record was 53 hours and 59 minutes. So when they broke the record at 54 hours, they were allowed a brief celebration rest break as permitted by Guinness World Record requirements. Then they said, oh, what the hell? They sat down and played for another 7 hours.
That's awesome. Just to build on it a little bit. That's a
seven
true champion.
7 hours! The previous record of that 53 hours was James Carroll, Jared Wetson, Craig Deming, Josiah Hooten, and Aaron Trent, who played Last Night on Earth, the zombie game, at the Little Shop of Games in Oklahoma City in 2011.
That's a board game? Because that's the little video game I'm always playing.
Nope,
that's Last Day on Earth.
They have a board version of that. These two guys played what amounted to a 32-team, 111-game tournament, followed by five exhibition games just to get it to 61 hours.
Just for the hell of it.
They had some of the greatest baseball teams in history, as well as some of the favorites of not only the two of them, but a guy named Hal Richman. Hal Richman invented Stratomatic when he was 11 years old in his parents' bedroom. Yes, and then turned it into a lifelong business. The championship was won by... If you're wondering, if you're a baseball fan, they had this down here. It was the 2007 Boston Red Sox beat the 2004 St. Louis Cardinals 4-1 and won the championship. They played 20 extra inning games. 15 innings was the longest individual game. Who do you think would be involved in a long extra inning game? Do you want to take a guess what franchise? The 1969 Mets.
There it is.
There you go. And that's how you know the game is realistic. Former Major League pitchers Jeff Nelson and Ron Darling, as well as the entire umpiring crew from the Mets-Yankee Subway Series, dropped in to make an appearance during the course of the weekend. They had a whole bunch of people visited them. These guys stayed in there and played all through the night at this bar in New York. And that's the record. And so I will have no... It was set 6 years ago. Nobody has touched it. And I will not be one of those guys that's going to attempt to try and break that one.
I was going
to
say...
61 hours.
Is that what we were talking about yesterday? Did we do that on the show when we were talking about how if there was a marathon game with the Mets, it would be... The Mets would rally for 700 runs.
Oh, yeah,
runs.
We said. If they played this, and then if we played a Stratomatic game for 24 straight hours, but just one game, not like they did. They just played a series of games. We played one game. At the end of 24 hours, it would be in the 7,000th inning, and they would be down starting the 7,000th inning by 400 runs, and they'd score 399 and have the tying run on second before they made the third out.
There it is.
Unbelievable. Wow. Most baseball games are played in under 20 minutes of actual play time. Yes, the Stratton board games are, because you eliminate, individual pitches and the time between batter and you just roll dice. That guy's up. Next guy, roll dice. So, yes, you think about our average baseball game. Each team sends maybe 35 guys to the plate, 36. So you talk about 72 dice rolls. You can do that in no time. So that's the way it works. So unbelievable. That's a lot of years. Did you know that 60% of the human brain is made of fat?
Yes, I did know that.
Why does this guy like to mock you that they don't think you're smart? I'm going to let out a secret.
No.
Nick's IQ is high enough to be in Mensa. Just so you may not want to believe that.
I might actually try to. I want to get that mug. I want to get that mug.
Because that's the second guy to mock you is if you're dumb.
No,
they're trying to make you.
We were trying to do the AC. Like we were talking about it on the midday. Yeah, rush.
Why did that become your persona? Why are you being lovably goofy and everything
like that? It's when people actually think I'm dumb.
Some of these jackasses do. I promise you that.
That's cool. Then we can do the ACT test or whatever.
You don't have to. You've already done it. I know what your IQ is. We got it from the school. So
I was going to go
60% of the human brain is made of fat. I'm guessing Nick's is somewhere around 90%.
That's right. Vitality. All the unnecessary fat in my body went up to my brain. Actually, you know what? He might be saying I'm very smart because that fat is actually what fuels the brain.
Thank
you very much.
We're off to a great start with the texters today. Let me stretch a little bit because I'm ready to start punching guys in the throat. that text is asinine and it's rude, by the way. That's the other thing. I don't mind asinine. I don't like rude. That's rude and stupid. And if you think it's funny, it's not. Sorry, he's my son, so go screw yourself. This one says, the lame announcement about the Ravens. How about more high school sports coverage? Guess that's asking too much. Well, yeah, it is. Because
we're doing that too.
We cover high school sports also, and this is a guy we're getting the rights to the NFL games for. They're not even charging us anything, and you can follow this guy. That's a great bit of work by Drew and the staff here. And no matter what there's a story.
Shout out, VP.
No, I'm on a roll here today because I was going to write about this for Facebook. This absolutely pisses me off too.
Actually brought this up on the midday rush too.
Why am I pissed off?
No, you.
Well, Locke pissed
Drew
me off too.
And Locke can't look at the text line.
This is listening to Locke. Here's Locke's strategy. Locke takes whatever situation is out there and talks, because he's a bright guy, and weaves a talking situation around it where he gives himself the greatest percentage of possibilities that no matter what happens, he can claim he's right. And even when he's stone cold wrong, this was my favorite one.
I feel like Locke would be like, well, yes.
He said Tiger was never going to win again.
Oh, God. Here we go.
He won. And he said he's certainly never going to win another major. And he won a major. Now he's still on that saying, see, I was proven right because he just had knee surgery. He won. And he won another major. What the hell are you talking about?
And you're still on that.
He just talked about it. Were you not?
I was here.
So how stupid is that? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say the Yankees will never win another game. No, that's wrong because they'll always win another game. I'm going to take a great player and say he's never going to win another championship. And like Michael Jordan, after his first championship, he's never going to win another one. And he wins another one. He's never going to win another one. And he wins another one. He's never going to win again. And he wins another one. And he's never going to win again. And he wins, and then he never going to win again. And he wins another one. And then he finally stops. You say, see, I told you way back in 1997. The guy's never going to win. I was right. What the hell? What is that? You just keep saying it enough where eventually, like, the person you talk about dies, and then you're right? See, I told you he can't win. He's dead. The guy's currently dead. Have you seen a dead doll forever win? No. So I'm right. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
So that one, and this is the story. I'm reading this, that this lady, I don't even remember where it is. It's a Little Caesars. How trucked up the world has gotten that you can't do anything nice without being, what's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
There was a guy she found in the back of her Little Caesars rummaging through the trash. He's a homeless guy eating out of the dumpster. She hung a sign on the window that said, "Dear homeless person, rather than going through our garbage, if you'd like to, please come inside, get a couple of slices and a cup of water. There's no reason you should have to do that. Come on in." Wonderful. Nice thing.
Nice.
Yay. Second response. Second in the comments under the story about that. Does that mean me and my friends can go get free pizza too? It's unbelievable. Yes. And what I suggest is, okay, I'll make you a deal. Leave your house, sell all your crap, get rid of your phone, get rid of all your friends and all that crap, go live on the street for a week, eat out of a dumpster for a month, and then, yes, if you want to come in and get two free slices and a cup of water, if you say, boy, that's worth it, so I got two free slices of Little Caesars, then by golly, Missy, go ahead and do it. Because that whole mindset, everybody's getting stuff and not me, this entitlement thing. You want to have a debate about entitlements? Fine. This is not an example of that. This is person being humane. If you're raised like I am, saying that would be a Christian thing to do. But to be honest with you, you don't even have to be Christian to appreciate that. It's a humane, human, courteous, empathetic, sympathetic, kind thing to do.
It could be Buddhist or Muslim, too.
The second comment in there is, "I'm gonna meet my friends. Can we get free pizza? Duh." Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. We get the Ravens on. Last I checked, it doesn't cost you a nickel. Just turn the radio on. Boom, there it is. We love Lamar. It's a great story. People are interested in that. It means automatically. So we don't get farm prices? What about soybeans? I got a lot of money in soybeans. How the hell am I supposed to know about soybeans? I mean, what the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? How miserable must people's lives be that they have to drive around, find something nice, and say, how can I go spit on that? Let me go see. Let me drop pants here. Take, like our dog last night. God bless him. I don't know why. He chose not to tell me he had to walk. So for some reason, I'd walked him already. He had to go again. He just marched in the living room and dropped the deuce. This is how people live their lives. Let's go look around and see if there's something good going on and drop trowel and go drop a deuce on that. Now, my work there is done. Let me go see what else I can go put a little crinkle on here. It's unbelievable. Live and let live. Unbelievable. It's just incredible. It's just amazing. What high school sport plays on Sundays? That guy's a jackass. That's from one of your fellow listeners, not from me. Unbelievable. It's just, I really wonder sometimes. Let me let you in on a secret. I am not one of those people that thinks what we're doing here is rocket science. You know what? There's a bunch of stations. New York is a guy named Joe Benigno who got the job because he was a famous favorite caller. And he's now been hosting in the number one media market in the country for well over a decade. Many of you could host this show and any other show on this station. I get it. But what I don't know if you appreciate is I'd love for you to be sitting at your desk when you're trying to sell widgets or balance the books or sell insurance and just have asinine people randomly writing you texts about crap that A, they don't know anything about, or B, just insult you. Hey, John, how about that homeowners policy you put together? Did you cover anything about fire in the attic, you jackass? Do you even understand what double indemnity means? I mean, seriously, what are you talking about? How can you sell insurance? You don't even know how to buy I checked your house the other day. You can't even take care of your landscaping. What the hell does that have to do with insurance? Unbelievable. Good Lord. Live and let live. Smile a little bit. Life's too short. Good God. Just unbelievable. Hey, Nick, I don't know you. I never met you, but you're stupid. You got a fat head. I'm smarter than you. No? How do you know that? Well,
I do have a fat head. That's totally fair.
Unbelievable. You're way too tolerant of that.
No, it's just because I just got to laugh him off. I've thought about actually going on Nicky the Boot, just going down the list and crushing people. I mean,
well, that's what
that.
I find. When you get to be my age, then you'll start doing that, because it's unbelievable.
No. I just got to roll with the
guy
punches.
Says Bob's reaction is the genius of Locke. Okay, yeah, if you want to get a reaction, it's like the Doug Gottlieb school. If you want a reaction for that asinine, ridiculous, insulting, stupid take, sure, you did it. But I don't understand what the virtue of that is. I really don't. I'm not lumping Locke in, but seriously, I often thought about that. Is that what it comes down to? It's like, let's get together, Nick. Here are the five stories of the day. Let's get the five most insulting and asinine takes we can have on all of them and put them out there and watch the phones light up. Boy, am I good at this. No, you're a manipulative jackass. That's what you are. This is a guy, I'm going to try and play it from here.
You can tell me, and
if you go to Grant Napier, go to Grant Napier's Twitter.
Oh, we know. Yeah, we know him.
Go to Grant Napier's Twitter. Guy from elementary school just decided at this moment to text me. Thank you, Bobby, but I can't deal with it right now. All right, here's Grant Napier. There's a guy. It's the first one that comes up. Andrew Hammond, another friend of mine, actually tweeted it. Grant retweeted it. Dale Hansen is a sportscaster.
Yeah, I saw this.
I love Dale Hansen. He is a guy that if I had some balls, I would be, because he's an older guy who doesn't give a spit anymore. He really doesn't. You may think I don't give a spit, but deep down inside, I want to be liked. He doesn't give a rat's ass. He's like, I'm just telling the truth, and if you don't like it, tough buttons.
So is that like your final form to become him? Is that like the next evolution like they do in like Dragon Ball?
He's the weekend sports anchor on ABC's Dallas affiliate. And he does a lot of commentary. He's a little older than I am, and he left giving a spit about five exits back on the highway. And that's entertaining. And so here he is talking about the certain element of the fans' reaction to Andrew Luck's announcement. Here he is.
Injuries to players like Devin Smith and Jalen Smith is why the reaction to Colts quarterback Andrew Luck's decision to retire is so incredibly stupid. Luck has a long list of injuries from playing this game: a concussion, a lacerated kidney, torn cartilage in the shoulder that kept him out a year, rib and ankle injuries too. So he decides to walk away while he still can. And fans at the Colts game Saturday night actually booed him as he walked off the field. How stupid do you have to be? How bad does your life have to be that you think booing Andrew Luck or even criticizing him, as some guy on Fox did, is somehow the right response? Some people are just too stupid to breathe the same air that we breathe, and a lot of them live in Indiana. But a lot of them go to football games everywhere, too. Football fans who will cheer the player who beats up a woman,
yep,
drives drunk and kills people,
yep,
cheer the player who uses illegal drugs, yep, and will cheer, yep, the player who cheats to win, boo a 29-year-old man who has been in constant pain for 4 years because he chooses his life over money. I might be as stupid as so many of you tell me I am, but I have never been that stupid.
That was pretty good.
No, it was very good.
Didn't have to put the shot in there about Indiana, though, Dale. Come on.
Well, that's where the fans were. That's who he was alluding to. Now, also in fairness, by the way, it's one of those things. They, you know, 10%, 90% of the phone calls in a sports radio market are from 10% of listeners. I mean, it's the same people, and so the same thing. If you got 100 people who were booing, the stadium had emptied out and made a big deal. So I think the overwhelming number of people understand that it is a decision that he made for his own, you know, well-being and his health, and that's a good thing. So, I think most people, it's not fair to lump the vast majority in with the vocal minority. That's what I'm suggesting. I think most people understand it. I said this. This is what I was going to get into yesterday. And it's not, he's been there. But I'm telling you, I played three sports in college. I've been around sports my whole life. When I kicked that one game This was the Arena Football League. This was the Arena 2 League. No disrespect to these guys, but this was not exactly the biggest and the fastest. These were just run-of-the-mill guys trying to make $200. If you won, you got $200. If you lost, you got $100. That is putting yourself in harm's way for very little reward. I was absolutely dumbfounded at the violence that takes place there. It is absolutely the most gleeful form of not only trying to destroy everybody on the other team, but gleefully destroying yourself. Just going in there and saying, at the end of this play, there's going to be body parts strewn. Some of them may be mine, but I don't give a rat's ass. Here we go! And yelling and screaming and swearing at each other and knocking. And I was like, oh my God! Now, I was not, you know, a 6'4 professional quarterback and as strong as he is, but I got news for you. If you were doing that and saying, I can hardly stand up as it is, I can go out there and have that man, you see the fellow right over there, the guy that's spewing all those things I can't say on the radio, if he has a chance, he's going to run around the guy in front of him and try and knock my kidney out the back of my ass. That's what his goal is going to be. Let me see, I can do that for another 16 games, and studies show in 10 more years, I may think my name is Abraham Lincoln, but that's going to be good, because even though I got more money than I know what to do with, let me get out there and do that so that this fan doesn't feel that somehow I'm letting him down. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just, you know, you saw Rob Gronkowski, the most machismo of men, sobbing yesterday, talking about his retirement. You saw Eric Crawford. You saw Andrew Luck choke up and you know, be so sobby. It wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't something they did cavalierly. They weren't trying to rip people off. How about the guy Overton, who's going to buy all the disgruntled season tickets from people and give them to the children's hospital in town? Yeah, so you know what? You're mad about it? Sell your damn ticket. That's fine. He'll be happy to buy it from you. Okay, so it's just, I understand you're disappointed. We root for the team. If Peter Alonso suddenly announced I'm not playing anymore, as a Met fan, I'd be heartbroken. I can't wait to watch this guy's career unfold. But in his case, you'd be a little sad because you'd say, my God, why would you stop playing? You're great. You're healthy. This is a guy who can hardly stand up. He's had 4 years. You get people who get a cold for a week, and they whine about it the whole week. This guy has not been able to live his life for basically 4 years, but it's okay. Just get back out there and play. I mean, it's unbelievable how judgmental and nasty we are. We have just become so nasty to each other. You can't have a civil conversation about anything. Sports used to be the fun part of it because you could go in and break balls and have a good time, but it could be now. There's no civility. Get on the road. The guys drive around all day and just look for people to screw up. They're not even going anywhere. They just drive around looking for people to screw up. That guy's wrong. Like, that guy merch. That guy merch. It's just unbelievable. Even if the guy sees you, we've seen that. The guy's like going to pull out. He's like, "Oop, I'm sorry, I didn't realize there's somebody there." Nope, not good enough. I mean, it's unbelievable. The whole world must be punished every day for everything they do. Unbelievable. How did we get here? It's just astounding to me. But that's what it comes down to, and these texts are a perfect example. Hey, we got good news. You can hear the Ravens. What about high school football? What about bowling? What about my cousin Joe? My cousin Joe's in a lacrosse league. I haven't got the latest on that. What about that? How about that? How about the soybean futures? My soybean. I got my whole retirement tied up in soybeans, you jackass. You don't even care about me, do you? What are you talking about? I don't know. I just heard some good news. I felt I had a piss on it. It's unbelievable. Absolutely astounding. I don't know who these people are because this caller is freaking down again.
The first one's Birdhead Ryan. The second one is New York
Mike. Who's the second one?
New York Mike. He goes one and two.
Birdhead Ryan, welcome back. I'm sorry you couldn't make the Hall of Fame, the mascot Hall of Fame up there. That was heartbreaking.
Man, I felt horrible that I couldn't stop by for you and check it out. But I know you will eventually make it up there,
no doubt,
to that Hall of Fame. I do have a We Want to Know Wednesday. It will not top last week's. I don't know if I could have a better We Want to Know Wednesday.
That might, it's going to give you something to shoot for the rest of your life. That's a pretty good one.
That Hall of Fame may be in the We Want to Know Wednesday Hall of Fame, if you ask me. But
that's probably true.
Now, this We Want to Know Wednesday, I feel like you and your son may know this answer.
Okay.
But did you know that there is a significance to the New York Mets general manager that his father-in-law is of high significance.
The general manager is Brody Van, whatever his name is. I can never say his last name.
Wiggenen.
Yes.
Do you know who his father-in-law is?
I read it and I forgot. You're right. I did read it and I forgot. Who is it?
Neil Armstrong.
Oh, no, I didn't read that. Wow. Wow, that's pretty awesome. I
heard that last night on the broadcast.
I did not know that.
Broadcast. His father-in-law is the first man to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong.
Wow.
That is your We Want to Know Wednesday.
That's strong.
Take care and go Cards.
All right, very nice. So assuming he's not gay, not that there'd be anything wrong with that, then he's married to Neil Armstrong's daughter. So you would assume. That's awesome. He explains, well, I'll never forget. They ran a hit and run the other day, and he said, that's one small hit for a man. Guys at the corners for mankind. And they're like, Neil, what are you doing, Brody? Stop it. He's like, I can do that. You married into that for starters. It wasn't even your father. Stop it. That's one small breaking ball on the corner, an important second out for the franchise. Again, Brody, stop it. Stop doing
it.
Hands
into the valet's his keys. It's the space shuttle parked out front. It's a Lexus, Brody. Come on, stop.
Calm down. All right, New York Mike joins us. Mike, I finished your book on Henry Hill last night.
You're kidding.
I finished it. He's a weird, 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 weird guy. That was a weird SOB.
Why can't you say it like I say it?
Well, no, because you don't like him, and you'll say it in a way.
You like him?
No, I didn't say I liked him, but you'll be a little nastier and get us fined by the FCC, probably.
No, I won't do that to you. Right. Hey, Bob, I got two more books for you.
What do you mean, a gangster book club? What is this now? Is this like
listen to this. You're going to like this one. This is the book about the first ever snitch in the mob, the first ever, going back to the 1950s or late 40s. Nobody knew about this guy, but I have the book, and I'm going to give it to you.
Well, I'll say this. It was an interesting read. I mean, he's absolutely nuts, the guy.
But that's why he wrote it and put those words in. I guess you've seen it that way. He said Jimmy put little kids in refrigerators, right?
Yeah, Jimmy, he's very loyal to Paulie, and he despises Jimmy, and I don't know.
Jimmy was dead when he wrote that. In the first one, he didn't do nothing like that. He wrote it in the second book because he knew Jimmy couldn't say anything, that lying punk.
You weren't a big fan of his, I know that, but
I wasn't.
Well, he was. I mean,
I'll kick Angel right in the head if you don't stop.
You'll kick who right in the head? Who?
Angel, my dog.
Oh, don't do that.
Okay, come here, Angel. I'm only kidding. She has a knife in her hand. Okay.
She's in the gang. She's in the mob also. He said things that were. I mean, the guy was a bigamist. I mean, the way his relationship with women, with his own, with everybody. It's incredible. And he was obviously it's sad. I never want to make fun of substance abuse, but he's obviously a drug addict till the day he died. I mean, he never got clean, evidently. So
he never did.
It was a terrible, terrible story. Did you?
I think I told you in 2005 to 2009, I worked for Tony DelVecchio.
Yeah.
He was Frank Sinatra's last bodyguard.
Okay.
Now, 2004, Tony gave me. I did the show in the stadium, in the studio in 2005. 2007. I did it in the studio with Tony. And as I left, he said, here, take one for you and one for CW. And he gave me two CDs. They were interviews with Henry Hill. He interviewed Henry Hill the year before I got to stay with Tony, and that's 2004. And it's still on the web today. All you got to do is go to Tony DelVecchio, interviews Henry Hill, and the whole thing will come up. It's 35 minutes long.
Huh.
Tony said that Henry had a bottle of scotch to his right on the table and a bottle of Vicodin. He was stoned the whole time.
Oh my
that's
God.
What Tony told me. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Now, if people don't know what we're talking about, Henry Hill is the person that Ray Liotta depicted in Goodfellas. And Paulie was the... Jimmy Burke was depicted by who in that? Who was
Robert De Niro.
De Niro, okay. That's what I thought. All right. Anyway, go ahead. So what do you want to talk about? You got a game for us?
Yeah, I got a game for you. Okay, now last Thursday I had the Raiders, which made it 13 out of
14. Oh, that was a push. That came out to be a push. You can't land it up right on the number.
I know. Can you listen to me? It was the Raiders. It was the Raiders playing who?
I don't remember who the hell they played. It's exhibition football.
But the Raiders were the underdog because they were visiting Green Bay. No, they were playing in Winnipeg.
Yeah, they played in Canada on an 80-yard field in that goofy...
I know, but the Raiders were getting three, remember?
I thought they were laying three.
No, No. I followed it up to the end.
Oh, then you won. Congratulations. That's another winner for you. Very nice.
That's what I said. I got 13 out of 14. Then Friday when I was talking to you, I gave the Bills, right?
Yes, you did. Yep.
That's 14 out of 15. I'm going to give you tonight. No, not tonight. Tomorrow night's game. I'm going to give you two games so I can get up to like 16 out of 17.
That's impressive numbers, my friend. What do you got?
Okay, I got the Raiders. This is the first time in a long time the Raiders, they won their first three preseason games. This is their fourth and last one. If they do this, and they're going to do it, this is the first time they won 4-for-4 in preseason, and they're going to go right into the next week's season with a chip on their shoulder.
No, they are two and a half point underdogs at Seattle.
Yeah, you got 2.5 with the Raiders, right?
Yep.
The other one's Baltimore. I think it's -2.5 against Washington. That's tomorrow night, too.
Baltimore is, not in this, -6 at Washington.
Forget about it.
Yeah, that's too many points, right?
That's too many.
Yep.
I don't want to mess up my thing. I would do it if I wasn't doing it with you. I would do it just to see if I could do it, but I'm not doing it with you because you got a lot of listeners, and I'm just going to do the Raider game.
All right.
Hey, listen, I was listening to you and Nick talking about – I don't like anybody sounding on Nick when I'm a member of your
exactly.
station.
Exactly, brother.
You got a friend of mine, and you're also talking about the ACT and the SAT?
Yep.
Well, I don't want to brag, but in the Bronx, I was an honor student. Yes, Your Honor. No, Your Honor. Nice tie, Your Honor. I also got my – PhD in English at Penn State. You know that?
No, what's that?
Oh, wait a minute. That was the state pen. I'm sorry.
All right.
I always like to make you laugh. You're a good guy, Robin. You got a good son. You got a good family.
Oh, God bless you, Mike. Take care of yourself. We'll talk soon. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. He's a good person. He's got a good heart. He's a character. He is a bona fide character, but he's got a good heart. But that book that Henry Hill wrote, you watch Mad Men, and you know Don Draper is not a quote-unquote good guy, but it's hard not to root for him. Henry Hill, it's impossible to read about, because he's just such a scumbag to everybody. It's unbelievable. The thing that is interesting is that it was his testimony to put 50 guys behind bars in the mob. How he didn't get whacked is amazing, but he didn't. He ruined so many lives. I mean, people that were considered him that were friends of his, he ruined their lives. It's unbelievable. Very, very amazing stuff. We Want to Know Wednesday.
Oh, here we go. UPS Job Text Line 437-9688.
Send us, please. We want to get those in.
You can also tweet them. Fan Outfitters Twitter feed at ESPN 680.
The guy,
ESPN V Show.
The guy, I'm in my ABBA phase right now.
Still?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really? Well, because this is kind of a long one.
Well, because there's a lot of information to digest. I didn't know anything about them at all. And I started reading. Benny Anderson, who was one of the main songwriters, he was the keyboardist. And there was a guy named Bjorn, who was the guitarist. They wrote a good number of their songs. People of a certain ilk will remember this. They wrote so many songs that weren't even ABBA songs. They it's very fascinating that they were mocked in their day. They absolutely were mocked. And he gets it. That's why he's so funny. They interviewed him. He said, I don't know how he lasted as long as we did. It was so corny, but people loved it. And they did love it. And there's a guy online who did his doctoral thesis at one of the main English universities, one of the good ones, Eton, Oxford, whatever, on the musical construction of ABBA. And it's fascinating. If you don't know anything about music, you just listen to it. He explains a lot of things. And this guy is a prolific composer. If you can find a song, you might not know this because, again, it's after ABBA, but they were so far long gone that you probably don't know the song. There's a song called One Night in Bangkok. He wrote that, too. It was the number one song in the world. He had nothing to do with that, but he wrote it for a play.
I'll use that as a rejoin.
It's a fascinatingly entertaining song. A guy named Murray Head performed it, and it was part of a play that they wrote, which was successful in Europe but didn't catch on here in the States, called Chess. And that was a musical that he put together with his partner, Bjorn. And what's interesting is they've all gone their own separate ways. The women don't perform anymore. Bjorn helps Benny write, but he got into the IT business. But Benny still performs. There's always one guy, it seems like, in every group that is a massive love of music. that goes on for a million years. Like, I mean, maybe George Harrison and John Lennon would have, and Ringo performs, you know, he's got his all-star band for the Beatles, but generally it's Paul McCartney who just keeps trucking along with the, with that. ABBA, it's this guy. Benny Andersson has a thing called Benny Andersson's Orchestra right now, and it's hugely popular in Sweden, and it's a fascinating read. I love reading bios, especially about music acts, because I told you, they all follow the same mode. They're nobodies. They make a friendship. They play. I mean, ABBA fits the mold. Mm-hmm. They were married to each other. Did you know that?
Yep.
Yeah. They got together, sang together,
full Fleetwood
happy,
Mac.
Married each other, hated each other, still performed. That's the other thing. They still perform after they hate each other. Some of their best music comes out after they hate each other.
Because they're all writing
songs about how painful it is. Then there's lawsuits. They sued their manager. There was a lawsuit with their manager, Stieg, I forgot the guy's name, very brilliant guy. They sued him. They come back together nostalgically later on. They got together when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
One of them tragically usually dies.
Well, fortunately, they haven't had. But they've had their own tragedy. The two pretty girls, and they were beautiful. Make no mistake about that. The blonde one, her nickname is Anna. Her mother committed suicide, and her father died like a month after. And the other one, the redheaded one, that was my We Want to Know Wednesday. I'll tell you that in a minute. The redheaded one, Frida was her nickname, had a child killed in a car accident in upstate New York and then married royalty, became a countess, and the guy died at 49. So you got everybody's got, that's the other thing. We don't need people dropping a deuce on nice things that happen because life is filled with so much pain anyway. It's unbelievable. You have more money than you can imagine, and you just have such a hard time finding joy and peace because life is hard, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, here's the We Want to Know Wednesday. Did you know that in ABBA, Anna, the blonde one, who everybody recognizes because she's so stereotypically
blonde. We Want to Know Wednesday.
She's actually brunette. And the redheaded woman is actually blonde. Their color comes from a good old-fashioned bottle of dye. So there you go. There's your We Want to Know Wednesday. Let's see. We got some good ones coming in here. High school needs MMA. It's safer than football. Well, that's from an old show. So anyway, we got some more stuff coming your way. You know what else is coming your way? Give Mike the 7-9 slot. Could be a gambling theme. Sure, that's fine.
Well, it's
I could listen to Mike all
7-9. Oh, in the evening. I was going to say, you can't take Drew's spot. But yeah. We got space for an evening person. Occasionally. Damn it!
Why are you cussing?
Because I found a feed. I'm trying to get some good audio for SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are a couple of days away.
From what?
From the kickoff of the U of L football season.
Actually, we're a couple of days away from the kickoff for the Kentucky football season.
Well, that too. We're closer. Closer to that.
Yeah.
But Brian Kelly had some stuff to say about Puma Pass. Nothing earth-shattering. He said he was, quote, big and physical. And they've put an offense together that suits him. It suits him well. He can make some plays. So kind of wanted to cut that and find some more sound. And that press conference just happened 15 minutes ago, and I found a YouTube link. I'm going really inside baseball, but you asked me, and I just can't stop. And unfortunately, the link is not converting, so I have to... I was pretty close. It was like the... I'm trying to think of a good game show. I was just about there, and now I'm back to zero. I gambled. I hit the bankrupt on the little... the wheel, or I went for a true daily double and didn't phrase it in the form of a question.
So here's my example of Locke also. He's going to think I'm bashing him. I'm not. Locke, love you. But here's the deal.
Say, don't bash him too much. He's on the round table next week.
I'm not bashing him at all. I'm just observing. You want a listener? I'm listening and I'm responding. He said he's not buying into Kentucky. Okay? We got that, basically. And he said, and if you listen carefully to what he did here, he's given himself... It's like going to a roulette wheel and saying, well, I'm playing fair and square with everybody else. But when you get to the table, suddenly 80% of the numbers come red. You set it up so 80% of the numbers are red, and then you bet on red and say, see what a genius I am at playing roulette. He said, if the culture there is different, he has set it up so that the only thing that can happen this Saturday is he can be proven right, but he can't be proven wrong. Because what he said is, if they lose to Toledo, a MAC school, then it proves that they're not – all the crap that they've been saying in this offseason is just ridiculousness. But if they win, it doesn't prove him wrong. So it's like a free bet when you go to the casino as a promotion. Because if they lose, he's going to position it as, see, they're fraudulent, they're not any good. But if they win, he's still not going to believe in them. He can still pass it off as he's right because they still haven't won 8 games. So there's nothing to lose by that take. Nothing. There's nothing that can come out of it that can blow up in your face. It can only make you look good, but there's no way you can look bad. If they win 75-0, you say, well, I went on the air and told everybody it's a MAC school. They're supposed to win that game. Pro-hum. If they lose, though, see, the whole season's a fraud. They could go undefeated the rest of the way, but they've been exposed as a fraud. That's, I mean, we don't know. It's we want to know Wednesday, and we want to know about certain things, but in college football especially, certain teams you don't know. You can't know. Louisville's got a new coach, a new coaching staff, a new system, a new style. They've got a quarterback that had all sorts of confidence issues. Maybe he's going to be great. Maybe he's going to be terrible. Chances are he's going to be somewhere in the middle. We don't know where in the middle he's going to be, so we got to see it play out. Did Terry Wilson get better? You would hope, expect he did. Most guys, you know, develop. So he developed. How much better? Did he develop enough to make them good at quarterback? I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows because we have not seen it. So the only thing you can do is let it play out. Or you can position it so that no matter how the result comes on Monday, you can't be wrong. Or the opener, you can't be wrong. That's what it is. If they lose, see, told you, the hype was all garbage. I told you they were exposed as fraud. If they win, well, I told you they're supposed to win because they played a MAC school. And I told you that doesn't mean anything. So they could still, you could still be proven right. I think most people are correctly saying that Toledo is a good team. The MAC has a history of springing upsets. They're a good team. I don't know that I would just, how do you know, write it off? They've got all these guys back from a team that scored a jillion points a game last year. I don't know. Does it mean they got, I mean, if you don't steamroll them, the whole thing is a fraudulent offseason? I don't think it's that simple. That's the whole point. I just don't think it's that simple. But you can make anything overly simple if you want it to fit your own narrative. And a lot of us do that. So, I mean, we'll see. So what? They're double-figure favorites. How do we know? Who knows? Does anybody know? How could you? If you can, please tell me, because you should be Nostradamus. Because, like, we know Trevor Lawrence is a good player. We've seen him play. We know Tua is a good player. We've seen him play. We know they are already exceptional players. We don't have to, well, I don't know how they're going to play. Yes, we do. We have a pretty good idea how they're going to play. You don't know that about either of these two teams. While their narrative is different, the one team is trying to prove that they are a year in and year out, you know, high echelon program, and the other one is coming off one of the worst, except for the Ron Cooper year, probably the worst season they've had since I moved here to Louisville 20 years ago. So you put all that together, and you got a lot of answers to get. But nobody knows. Just enjoy watching it. Let's see how it plays out. It's just that's crazy thought, I know, to be entertained by watching sports, but that's kind of like what I'm going to do.
But in a world where people, I mean,
it's constantly changing.
You don't have to go.
How can I be sure?
You don't have to make, I don't want to say outlandish, but you don't have to go out on some limbs and everything like that. But just, you know, in a world where people care about some prognostication and a little bit of predictions. Has anything come out that is greatly? Because you said 7-5 in the official predictions.
I don't remember if I did 7-5 or 8-4. I can't remember. I think I
has anything come out that has moved the needle at all?
How would I know? I don't go to practice. They don't play an exhibition game.
I'm just saying from what the coach has said. Like you, I mean, you are a coach. You are an ex-coach.
Yes. All right.
You agreed with what Satterfield said. Stoops
is doing what I would do. He's cautiously optimistic about his team, as well he should be. He's got a lot of guys back. They won a lot of games. He doesn't think they're a one-trick pony. He's not going into it saying, oh, woe is me. You know, I wouldn't go so far like when Bobby did and made it sound like their offense was going to be better without Lamar. That's when you start losing all your credibility. Who in their right mind would think you're a better team without the reigning Heisman Trophy winner? That's just ridiculous. But that's what they tried to pass off, and it blew up in their face, and the whole thing fell apart like a house of cards. So, you know, I like what Satterfield says. I like the way he's going about his business. He's building it a brick at a time. You're watching. It's like going to a house. You know, you build. You got contractors, and you build your house, and you go there, and you want to say, can you put the roof on? And the guy's like, I can't put the roof on. I'm still putting the – no, I want the roof now. I want to see what it's going to look like when it's finished. I can show you the plans, but no, I want it right now. No, we would, wouldn't. We, I mean, really, seriously, if somebody did that, we would mock them mercilessly for being so stupid that Dale Hansen would rip them. But that's what we want with our coaches. Why would you want that? The guy's telling you, I got to build. Did you see this rubble in this lot here? Hell, I'm still carting off the broken pieces from last house. Forget about stuff. He may not even be completely building this new house yet. He may still be clearing the rubble out. You know, you have to like it, but that's the reality. So give the guy time to do his job. And let's see the things that they can control if they're better. Kentucky, I don't know, maybe, you know, they'll be absolutely awful. That's, I mean, I don't know. But even if they are, 1 week I wouldn't write them off. But more importantly, I would say, okay, let's take a look at the whole body of work. You know, Stoops' reputation was as a defensive guy. This is a good offensive team. A legitimately good offensive team. So if the defense plays well against this offense, you should have reason to be encouraged. That's what we're looking at. That's what the whole thing's all about. So let's see. Let's run the movie. That's terrible. I shouldn't laugh at that. Did you know that? We want to know Wednesday. Did you know Locke's wife doesn't actually have business out of town? She just goes out of town to get away from him for a few days. That's mean. Oh, Nick doesn't like that. If it was about me, he'd be laughing his ass off.
I'd fall out
of the chair laughing.
I'm chuckling.
But, unbelievable. Bob's...
You guys are both married to Italian women.
Yeah. Skinner... Is it Bob Skinner? Condition the pigeons like you've done with us for the Mets song? We don't play the Mets song when they lose.
No.
And they've lost four in a row. You got to earn it. Sorry. And tonight is a pivotal game. If they lose this, I'm not a feeble, fickle guy, but I will think that we had our fun. They put themselves in too big a hole by playing like the Bad News Bears for the month of May and June. If they win tonight, though, they're back within two games of the Cubs, and they certainly have enough time to make that up. If they lose tonight, they're four out. And I blame Sweeney, because Sweeney said after they after they won the other night, he said, you know, I'm starting to believe the Mets. And as soon as he said that, they've lost four games in a row. So he admits it himself.
He
put the malarkey on.
They were converting a Yankees fan, and then all hell done broke loose.
Hey, ESPN Louisville Papa John's promo code is as follows. Use the promo code RadioXL, and they'll bring a pizza that has two toppings. It's an extra large pizza. And you'll get a 2-liter beverage for just $14. Go to papajohns.com or the Papa John's app. Don't forget, the football coverage comes your way. We've been talking about it for this first hour. Kentucky and Toledo, the postgame show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. The Kentucky Farm Bureau Insurance postgame show. James Strebel, Jason Entz, this Saturday. We'll hear from Coach Stoops, locker room sound, and more. Kentucky gets underway after their Notre Dame game. All ESPN Louisville programming will be on the air Monday, getting ready for kickoff. So we have to work Labor Day because they had to schedule a football game on the holiday.
Your boys with Vince should holler and be like, yo, Vince,
hey,
my guy.
National TV.
My dude.
Labor Day coverage of Louisville football is presented by Window World, simply the best for last, and the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety reminding you to get a ride home, even if you're just a little bit impaired. Drive sober or get pulled over. That's one of those little rhymey taglines.
Right.
Drive sober or get pulled over.
I don't mean to bring this up.
Drive straight or for you I'll have hate.
So I know
I
this
don't
is,
like drunk drivers.
No, this is something...
I don't like drunk drivers at all. I lost one of my favorite cousins to a drunk driver. Christmas Eve. Very sad. Kennedy Airport. Head-on collision. Drunken jackass. And she gone. So I don't have a lot of patience for drunk drivers. Oh. Get home another way. There's a million people who'll take you home.
Lyft. I'll carry you home. I drove somebody home,
most
actually.
Most bars will provide a ride.
Yeah,
for
we
you
did that.
Over-served.
We did that during this is the service you get at Jack's Equus. Somebody was stuck there. They were blind, so they couldn't see. I think it was blind. They had a...
You can tell if it's blind, you can't see. If it's deaf, you can't hear. Yeah. That's what those things mean.
Thank you.
Okay.
They used to use the term dumb if you couldn't talk, which I thought that was kind of mean.
Yeah, well, I don't know why that came about. I didn't invent the language.
Typically, if you can't hear, you can't talk, because, you know, it's they kind of tie together.
Helen Keller could speak. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, with her, with like hand pressing language.
She talked, though, too.
She did?
Yeah. You never heard her speak?
No.
Yeah. They taught her how to speak. Amazing. I don't know how the hell they did that, but they
did. Wow. That is impressive.
Anyway, go ahead.
But the, some disability, they couldn't drive, and their okay. ride had left. They weren't super intoxicated, but they just, you know, they couldn't. They only had, I think, like three drinks over the course of like 6 hours, but they couldn't drive home. And we couldn't get cabs because the snow started coming down. We couldn't get any lifts because we kept telling them that, hey, look, you know, you got to walk this person to their door.
Right.
It's snowing out. It's, okay. it's and you know.
So this would have been in the winter.
Yes. And so finally, after all this time, we've closed. The person is just sitting there giving them some coffee to, you know, stay warm. And no one's coming. So finally, me and the line cook were like, the hell with it. Where's your car? We'll take you. Actually, no, they didn't have a car.
Just say, what, yeah. Car? What is this? It's like the bit in Saturday Night Live with the blind cab driver.
So we drove them home, and yeah, and that's the service you get. We got them home safely, walked them to the door, and then a couple weeks later, they sent a card with a $5 tip, which was very nice. Totally unnecessary, but very sweet. Nice. Yes.
Be sure to join Mark Ennis for the Coors Light pre and post game shows for Louisville and Notre Dame. As the pregame starts at 6 p.m., the postgame follows immediately after the game's conclusion. You'll hear from the coach, Scott Satterfield. You'll hear locker room sound and a lot more. Don't forget the Colts coming your way on ESPN 680 1057. Preseason game number 4 is Thursday, the Colts and the Bengals. Reds baseball coming your way as well. It's your home for Cincinnati Reds baseball tonight and tomorrow. The Reds and the Marlins. The Reds beat the Marlins last night.
Hey.
And
you can kind of say
what?
That we're the home for the new Colts and the original Colts. Kind of.
No.
Because the Baltimore Colts.
The original Colts are now the Indianapolis Colts. Those are the original Colts.
Yeah, no, as I was saying.
We're the hosts for the original Colts and the original Browns. The Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Baltimore.
Yeah, okay.
And
there
they
you
started
go.
The new Browns.
Damn it.
That's always there's struck me as odd. There. Like, so who gets to claim all those franchise records? Is it the Ravens or the Browns? I mean, the Browns' records are...
I feel like it's whatever...
Baltimore?
It's whatever city hosts them, I feel like.
I don't think so.
So the Lakers... Well, oh, crap, you're right. It's the franchise.
Yeah, so I would think the Ravens should get all of those old Cleveland Brown records, and the new Cleveland Browns can only get the ones since they started in Cleveland, and there are not very many of those.
No. Not much at all.
But the problem is, I'm not sure the old Brown players want to associate with Baltimore, like the guys who played there in the glory days in the Jim Brown era, Leroy Kelly.
Yeah, they want to go back to Cleveland.
They want to be Cleveland. So, I don't know. It's above my pay grade. I just know we've done a whole hour and we got to take a break. So stay with us here on ESPN 680 1057.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.